From Community Public Radio, this is the CPR News. From New York, I'm Don DeBar. Today, we go to Moscow to speak with analyst Mark Sloboda, and we're continuing our discussion of the situation unfolding in China. We decided to do a special about this and roll it into the next day so that we can stay on top of it. So, Mark, pick it up where we left off.
We were talking about, it is because of China that the U.S. pulled out of the Intermediate Range Nuclear Forces Treaty because it bound their hand with land-based conventional ballistic missiles for use in this inevitable naval conflict with China off their own coast. And, China, of course, will respond to such a conflict immediately by launching missiles not only at U.S. surface ships, right, but against U.S. military bases in the Pacific,
right,
from Taiwan and which, of course, would be involved in that conflict, but also Guam, southern Japan.
Okinawa, South Korea, etc. Yeah, right.
Yeah, right. So the U.S. wants the capability to respond, and they already had air and sea-launched, cruise and ballistic missile capability. But the Army wanted that capability as well. And there are certain advantages with having ground-based launchers rather than sea or air-based. So that was the whole thing. And the U.S. is, if you've been following the news, almost immediately after pulling out of that treaty, the U.S. went about starting the installation, of those short intermediate range missiles in the West Pacific. And again, it's all getting ready for this conflict.
Along with DADs that they installed in Korea then, and the similar system over Bulgaria, and surrounding the whole, China and Russia.
Yeah, the THAADs are an anti-missile defense network, a terminal high advanced air defense network.
Right.
This is all building towards that there. And we see that China is frantically building aircraft carriers now of its own in an attempt to, be able to project their own force back. But both sides are also working on underwater drones, drone swarms.
Right.
Russia has already announced that they're building a nuclear-powered underwater torpedo that can essentially circumnavigate the globe before selecting its target.
Nice.
And I'm sure that the U.S. and China are not far behind, if not already ahead on that project, those types of things.
Yeah.
So there is a arms race well underway. This naval conflict is going to happen, according to U.S. military brass and thinkers. We've had Navy admirals say it's not. Just recently, in the past week or two, we've had U.S. Navy officers talking about how it's not a matter of if, but when. Of course, that should be scary, I would think, to everyone, because, first of all, it would affect everyone's lives because of the huge economic damage. But again, that's part of the reason why the U.S. has been doing its best, starting under the Trump administration, to economically decouple as much as possible from China, and also further to force all of its European and other allies to economically decouple from China as much as possible, because of, what the repercussions of this conflict will mean for global trade, which will certainly affect everyone. It doesn't get any better from there,
right?
Because the U.S., of course, if you want to take this talk to another level, of course, there would be cyber dimensions to this conflict. A huge cyber war would be unleashed on the internet at the same time, and that would that Russia would say get involved in that quite easily,
deeply,
because that's a less attributable, right? Everyone in the world, there would be a total global war on the internet.
Right.
It would extend into space, right? And the U.S. now has its space force. And of course, the U.S. press is mostly concerned with how silly the U.S. Space Force uniforms look.
And
making Star Trek, Spock, live long and prosper signs to each other.
Right.
Vulcan signs. But,
and goofing on Trump still. They're still goofing on Trump about that.
Yeah, still goofing on Truth about that. But you'll notice that the Biden is not changing Trump's economic policy on China. Biden is not reversing the Space Force. Biden is putting more money into the Space Force, and he's increasing the part of their budget as classified. And the U.S. is now floating, through various defense journals, the idea about coming forward, coming up front with at least some of its space weapons.
So let me just refresh the context for people for a minute from, the last discussion we had on this, and sort of add something from an editorial in globaltimes.cn. This is an authoritative English language, web newspaper of the People's Republic of China, actually of the People's Liberation Army, I believe, right, of the Chinese military. And it's an opinion editorial from October 12th, crush the will of the Tsai authorities and break cross-strait stalemate. And essentially, it lays out how Taiwan is doing these things, these provocations. They're acting as if they're going to break with China, that they've already backed off or don't believe and are rejecting totally, instead of in a nuanced way, the one China, two policy. And the U.S. is now moving aggressively towards rejecting one country, two systems also. And there's this military buildup, and they're making it look like they're going to go to war against China. And I guess this is under the assumption, China is basically saying, if this is under the assumption that as we get close to this, that we're going to let this thing, we're going to collapse in the face of it. They're saying, don't believe that, because we're not gonna. And they're saying, we believe that in the end, common sense will prevail, and the one country, two systems will be the door to peacefully resolve the Taiwan question. But, knowing these characters here, that's not how they want it to go, and it probably won't go that way. And if it doesn't, it looks like it's war.
It does. It does look that way. And with, the move, the news in the latest weeks that the U.S. has had for at least a year, U.S. military forces in Taiwan itself. And you have to remember the history here, all right? Taiwan, of course, was part of the Chinese empire state, before it collapsed in the Civil War. While the communists won that Civil War in China in the 1950s, the nationalist forces of Chiang Kai-shek retreated to Taiwan and so became a U.S. client state and held out there and have to this day. And you can make the argument that at least in the last 20 years, Taiwan has become more or less democratic.
Right.
They certainly weren't, until that time period. They were a nationalist state that was a client state of the U.S. They are now nominally democratic, but they're more than anything still a U.S. client state off the coast of China. That's what they are. And as part of the engineering the Sino-Soviet split and getting China to open up to the global economy, the U.S. adopted the one China policy, whereby they make some vague statements that they recognize Beijing and not Taipei, and that Taiwan is part of China, but they don't actually commit to the idea that the government in Beijing extends over Taiwan as well. There's enough strategic ambiguity there.
Right.
That has always been left and is now, basically being abrogated again.
Right.
Why? Because the U.S. is worried about growing Chinese economic and military strength, and they think that they need to fight this conflict sooner rather than later. So they are encouraging Taiwanese politicians to declare independence. They are, you know, supporting the politicians that might want to do that in Taiwan. And they are basically dropping feelers. And they are trying to position Taiwan in international bodies to be recognized. We see Lithuania, which is another U.S. client state on the border with Russia.
Right.
Lithuania has opened a special representative office for Taiwan, of course, which China reacted very vehemently against, because they recognize where that is going. That is going towards Western U.S.-led, Western hegemony, recognizing Taiwan as an independent country.
Right.
And what are China's red lines? Right. Well, obviously, an attack on Chinese military forces, recognition, Taiwan declaring itself independent,
right.
And even more so, the U.S. recognizing it as so. And the presence of U.S. military forces on Taiwan. Oops, we already have that one.
Yeah, and the government responded to that through the same organ, you know, through the Global Times last week on the 8th, the editorial that basically said the U.S. revelation of troops in Taiwan will only hasten cross-straits war.
Yeah, so, the U.S. is pushing China's buttons at this point. And China is responding, of course. They have to respond.
Analyst Mark Sloboda talking about the current situation in China and around China and Taiwan, which is, of course, part of China. Beijing did remind Washington of that fact again on Wednesday at a press conference held in Beijing. Ma Xiaoguang from the Taiwan Relations Committee of the People's Republic of China held a press conference, and we bring you as much of that as time will allow.
On the 9th of October, we have organized the grand gathering to celebrate the 110th anniversary of the Revolution of 1911. In this event, President Xi has made important speech. We will carry on the heritage of the spirit of Mr. Sun Yat-sen, and we will rally the whole people of the nation to work for the great rejuvenation of the country. We will continue the spirit of the revolution of 1911. We have talked about this just cause of the national rejuvenation, and President Xi has also mentioned that the issue of Taiwan will absolutely be solved with the rejuvenation and rising of our motherland. We have solemnly declared the determination and also the principles of the CPC Central Committee to realize our goal of the reunification of the country. And we firmly oppose any attempts of division, and we will do everything we can to safeguard the sovereignty and territorial integrity. We send a call to all the compatriots across the strait to work for the rejuvenation and also the reunification of the country. In the important speech by Mr. President, we have received a lot of inspirations and also guidelines for the future work. We will continue to study the words of President Xi and continue to rally the whole Chinese people, including the compatriots in Taiwan Island, to work together towards our goal of the complete reunification of our motherland and also to realize our dream of the rejuvenation of the country. Now the floor is open for your questions. Thank you. I'm from Xinhua News Agency. The Liberation Army recently had made a military drill across the strait, and the DPP has also sent the threatening message. Does this military drill send us a message? The DPP has colluded with external forces, and they have never stopped with the threatening messages. This is the deep root cause for the conflict across the strait. The independence of Taiwan will only give bad news and bad results to the compatriots in Taiwan. Only reunification of the country can benefit the people on both sides. The military drill by the Liberation Army is a necessary measure to protect the sovereignty and territorial integrity of the country. We would like to tackle the deep interests of the people on mainland and also on the Taiwan island. Thank you. Thank you. I'm from the China Review of Hong Kong. According to a responsible person, we have come to the most critical moment over the past 4 decades concerning the relations across the strait. And we are also making a strategy. What is your comment? I believe that the compatriots across the strait should be aware that currently the tension across the strait is a result of the collusion between the DPP and external forces. What they are doing are detrimental to the fundamental interests and rights of the people across the strait. It also is detrimental to the peaceful development across the strait. And this military drill by the Liberation Army of the Chinese people is aimed at protecting the peace at this region and to safeguard the territorial integrity and also sovereignty of the country. Is a move of justice. And DPP is hyping up this threatening, so-called threatening moves by the Liberation Army of China. This is groundless. It is a lie that cannot make its way among the Chinese people across the strait. If they don't stop with the wrongdoings, then finally they will push the Taiwan region to a more dangerous situation. Thank you. I'm from TaiwanNet. Could you please talk about the recent progress when applying the 22 rules for farmers? Authorities are applying the 22 rules for agricultural and forestry development. And we are helping those business persons from Taiwan region in solving the problems like the investment and also the approval for the use of land. We have progressed quite a lot. I would like to cite some examples for you. For the financing part and also for subsidies, in Zhejiang province, there is an association that has adopted a product called the financing card for the businessmen from Taiwan region. The crediting volume could reach a ceiling of more than 1 million RMB. Currently, more than 60 million yuan of volume of financing assets have been given to the businessmen from the Taiwan region. And also Guangxi province, they have also established a volume of 6 million for the crediting system for businessmen. And also in the Fujian province, we know that they have already established the development zones and parks for businessmen coming from Taiwan region. And they have also issued subsidies as much as 8 million. The Intan city of Jiangxi province, they have allocated a surface of 800 mu for the cultivation of the tea trees and to help the businessmen from Taiwan region. And another place has also allocated another 200 mu of land. The Tianjin municipality has also made full use of the 920 platform for e-commerce to facilitate the trade across the strait. And Shanghai municipality has also facilitated the participation of businessmen from Taiwan in the CIIE event. And Anhui province has also facilitated the participation of businessmen from Taiwan in the tea expo. We have noticed that recently the cultural exchanges have been impacted a little bit by the COVID-19. What are the upcoming events? Could you please give us more details? Thank you. Last time during our press conference, we have talked about the students' events in summer. Recently, we have noticed the fast development of cultural exchange and people-to-people exchanges. For example, the activities for the youngsters and also for students. There's a huge diversity of the exchanges among the people. From the 22nd and 26th of September, we have invited students and youngsters from Taiwan region to visit Wuhan City. And also more than 20 Taiwan students from England universities, like the Nanjing University, they have also made video products to demonstrate the fast development of Wuhan City on the web. And on the 8th visit of Lingnan by the Taiwan students will have a duration of 3 months. It is expected that more than 2,000 students from both sides of the strait will join this event. We will give them the knowledge about the history of Sun Yat-sen and also the development of the Greater Bay Area, as well as the historical and cultural discoveries of the Maritime Silk Road. We have also designed a series of activities for the youngsters and the younger generation, so the younger generation from both sides of the Taiwan Strait could have a personal experience with the culture in the Lingnan area. On the 25th of September, the 5th VI video shooting competition has been organized. Between Shanghai and Taipei City, we have used the technology and video links to organize this event. The filmmakers from both sides have finally got this opportunity to communicate one with another and study from each side. Hebei province has also organized the 5th Beijing Tianjin Hebei Province Forum for Education. Anhui province organized the Cultural Exchange Week for the students across the strait, and Hunan province will also organize an event for the cultural and scientific researchers. Secondly, for the cultural activities, they are also growing rapidly. On the 22nd of September, the Wenlan Pavilion has made a cloud donation ceremony in collaboration with the friends in the Taiwan region via video link. We know that the Wenlan Pavilion has a very long history in keeping the old works, and today we are doing the donation of this very famous series of books to our compatriots in Taiwan. This is also a symbol of friendship. And on the other side of the strait, very famous scholars from Taiwan Island have also participated in this event. During the festival, the Kunshan City has organized the Lantern Festival for the friends across the strait. So we have the compatriots appreciating this event at the same moment for the beautiful sceneries. We have also organized a competition for designing of the flower patterned lanterns in the Jinan City of Shandong Province. They have organized the Moon Festival by the springside, because the city is very famous for the spring sources. And also in other cities, we have other events and activities related to traditional culture. For example, in the Anhui province, and more specifically in the Hefei city, we have organized the competition for the citing of the poems. And we also have online interactions with the compatriots in the Taiwan region. And China Media Group has also invited literates and also the scholars and also experts on the cuisine to join the event to share with people the good representative works from both sides. We can make this event a very good window for the younger generation across the strait to know the good culture and tradition. And this is a high standard and high quality serial program. And in Yuncheng city of Shanxi province, they have organized the Guangong Tourism Festival. And also in the coastal areas, they have the Mazu Festival. All those are based on the traditional and religious beliefs. And thirdly, across the strait, recently we are expecting more exchanges. For example, in October, Zhejiang province will organize the second session of the photo shooting ceremony and also the prize awarding ceremony. We will give the awards to the best performers. We know that from mainland China and from Taiwan region, as well as the overseas areas, more than 450 students, as well as the other representatives from relevant units of agencies, they have actively joined this event. We have, for example, received 1,300 applications from the side of Taiwan, and this is a year-on-year increase of 28%. Jiangsu province will organize the first edition of the baseball competition for the participants from across the strait. And also an invitational game for the basketball. Peking University will organize the 7th Forum on Chinese Culture. And what is worth mentioning is that Suzhou City, from the 26th of October to the end of November, they will organize 2021, the Cultural Month of Suzhou City. This event of this year has for the theme the integration of culture and the people across the strait. They would like to make it a platform for the further interaction and communication between the younger generation across the strait. And in November, they will organize the first rounds of opening events. We will in total invite more than 300 youngsters from both sides of the Taiwan Strait to join. And there is also the scholarship forums of Huang Gongwang, just to name a few. So I will just give you these few examples in order to save more time for other questions.
That was Mao Zhaoguang, who's a spokesperson for the Taiwan Affairs Office of China's State Council, speaking at a press conference on Wednesday in Beijing. He said, among other things, that the establishment of diplomatic relations between the U.S. and China's Taiwan is a pipe dream. In other words, it will not happen that the U.S. will be allowed to establish separate diplomatic relations with Taiwan. Ma said that the Taiwan question is an internal affair of China's and the core and most sensitive issue in Chinese-American relations. Again, he urged the U.S. to abide by its commitments on issues relating to Taiwan and refrain from sending the wrong signals or giving support to the so-called independence forces inside Taiwan, that is the current governing party there, and that this was an important aspect to maintaining peace and stability in the Taiwan Strait. And that's all the news we have for you right now. For Community Public Radio, I'm Don DeBar in New York. Thanks for listening.